455, Oregon Food Bank Presentation.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. It is my honor to host this presentation by the Oregon Food Bank. With those giving the presentation, please come forward. Thank you. I have been a volunteer both at the food bank's location in Sunderland and also at the 4th of July Festival, the Oregon Blues Festival, for many years. And so since we often have a presentation, indeed we will have later today, of the impacts of the Rose Festival on Portland's economy, I invited the Oregon Food Bank to give us a short presentation on why this the Blues Festival and all that they do is so important to us here in Portland and across the state.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for the invitation. Mayor Hales, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to be here and to share with you the results of our first ever economic impact report of the Blues Festival.
And I neglected to introduce Laura Galino. You'd say it better than I can.
I will. I'm Laura Galino de Lovato. I'm the Director of Development, Marketing, and Communications at Oregon Food Bank. And thanks again. We're really excited about this opportunity to share with you the results of this report and to really to celebrate the wonderful partnership that we have with the City of Portland that's helped to make the event such a big success. What started out in 1987 as the Rose City Blues Festival, that was a group of people getting together to bring blues to the city, was also a fundraiser for Oregon Food Bank. It's now become a 4th of July tradition here in Portland and attracts over 100,000 people each year for an event that's either 4 or 5 days, depending on when the 4th of July falls. It's also Oregon Food Bank's largest fundraiser, and it's an event that's run entirely by Oregon Food Bank. We own and produce the event. It's also the largest blues festival west of the Mississippi and the second largest blues festival in North America. It draws top-rate blues musicians such as Charlie Musselwhite, Mavis Staples, Buddy Guy, and our very own Curtis Salgado, who is a favorite every year when he's available to perform. But we also attract musicians with broad appeal, including Isaac Hayes, Taj Mahal, and last year, Robert Plant, who was a sellout favorite. It's also an internationally recognized event that draws people from multiple countries. We have people who come every year from out of the country, beyond North America, and we're very happy about that, but it remains a favorite with our local community and within the United States. One of the things that's remained consistent over the years is the great partnership that we have with the City of Portland. Of course, as you know, being a waterfront blues festival, it takes place at Waterfront Park, and that's become an important piece of the identity of the festival. We wouldn't be able to put on this great event without the partnership of the city and working with us to have the event down at Waterfront Park. We've got the support of the Fire Bureau when it comes to safety around the event. We've got the support of the Parks Bureau and all of the staff there to help us out with the details. And we've got your support when it comes to last-minute kinks that we have to work out. And it's always ended up in a problem-free event from the attendees' point of view. So our relationship with the city is really key to the success of the event. Thank you very much for that support over the years. As the festival has grown, so has its importance to the local community and to our economy. We know because of the increased attendance over the 26 years that we've had the event, that it remains a really popular event for visitors to the city and for the local community. We know that it attracts thousands of additional people just for the fireworks show. They line the bridges and the East Side Esplanade. Even if they're never coming into Waterfront Park for the blues, they come for the fireworks. What we didn't really know was what the economic impact of the event was on the local community. So for the first time, we did an economic impact study. We hired Jeffrey Dentz, an economist from Eastern Oregon University, to conduct the study. He surveyed 1,200 Blues Fest attendees over the 4-day period of the event last year, and he analyzed the data using an industry standard in-plan software that is an impact analysis for planning.
Excuse me.
The study found that the four-day event brought in a total economic impact of $17.6 million to Portland's economy, $12.4 million in direct economic impact. That's sometimes also called the first round of spending or direct transaction between visitors and businesses, and an additional $5.2 million in indirect economic activity resulting from subsequent rounds of expenditures. A significant portion of that economic impact is new dollars each year to Portland. And while we know it's a beloved tradition on July 4th here in our community, it's also not just a local festival. It really goes beyond our borders. Nearly half of the attendees come from outside of Portland, and these new faces bring new dollars into the community. The vast majority of the economic impact was direct impact in accommodations, food and drink, and other recreation, so other activities that people might spend money on. Again, 47% of attendees come from outside the Portland area, so it's really no surprise that accommodation is the biggest area that is impacted by the event. We hear from hotels very near the park that it's their biggest weekend, and they rely on the event to fill up their hotels that weekend. We also know that lodging revenue benefits more than local hotels. Through those lodging taxes, the City of Portland, Multnomah County, and other local entities benefit directly from the filled hotels. In addition, food and drink is a huge category of economic impact. We've got a vibrant food scene here in Portland. A lot of out-of-town people come in and we'll go out to dinner, go to our food carts that are so well-known, but the locals will do that as well. On average, attendees from out of Oregon spend $235 on food, and international visitors spend $258 on food and drink. The survey also looked at transportation. We wanted to really look at the impact of the event both on our mass transit and on Smart Park. We had a feeling that there was a big impact, and the study verified that over a quarter of the attendees use mass transit, reducing the environmental impact and putting more revenue into the economy. And over a quarter of attendees use Smart Park, putting revenue right into the city's coffers. So it was really great. Overall, 73 industries benefit from the event. Added together, the average visitor spends $497. And we know people have a choice of where to spend their summer, where to spend their vacation, and where to spend their money. And we're really happy that we're attracting people to come to Portland for a solid 4 days for good music, but also to spend money here and support our economy. One demographic that I wanted to draw your attention to is the age of what we call our core attendees. We know that Portland is becoming more of a hip place to be, and it's sometimes called the place young people go to retire. Not sure who those young people that can retire are, but apparently that's what it's called. But over 60% of our attendees at the Blues Festival are 50 years old and over. And what's important about this is that baby boomers have a higher level of disposable income. And in fact, a study done by Nielsen found that boomers control over 70% of U.S. disposable income. So that means that they've got the money to spend when they come here to have fun at the Blues Festival. Additionally, the festival and Oregon Food Bank put on a great fireworks show to celebrate the 4th of July. As I said, a lot of people will come downtown just for that. It's the largest fireworks show in town, and it's become a tradition. And while we're happy to report about the stimulus that we provide to the economy, it is the festival's purpose to raise money for Oregon Food Bank for our core activities, which continues to be the collection and distribution of emergency food to people who are hungry, and also to look at the root causes of hunger. Without this event, we wouldn't be able to continue those core activities. Last year, we had a stellar year and raised $1.13 million for our services. That's about 3.4 million meals or about 4.5 million pounds of food. So this event has a very significant impact on Oregon Food Bank. One thing we didn't measure in talking to another attendee at this meeting was the fun factor, and we probably should have done that. We know that's off the charts. It's a really, really fun event. So we're also bringing some fun and lightheartedness to the community. We also asked the attendees what they knew about hunger and whether or not they knew anybody who had been served by Oregon Food Bank. And surprisingly, more than one in three attendees did know somebody who had gotten hunger relief through Oregon Food Bank and its network throughout the state. Last year, just in Portland, 35,000 people a month ate from an emergency food box, and 12,000 of them were children. Hunger remains a major problem in Portland and in Oregon, and despite the indicators of the economic recovery, those facing hunger are probably going to be the last people to feel the impacts of that recovery. And food box distribution numbers haven't fallen. We're seeing from the first two quarters of this fiscal year data that says the demand is flattening, but we're not seeing a decline, and therefore hunger remains a major issue. Oregon Food Bank is totally amazed at the generosity of the community, the support of the city of Portland, and the success of the event. It's a fun event. It's good for the economy. It's great for Oregon Food Bank. And we're really happy to be doing the event every year. We look forward to many more successful years of this event and a partnership with you. We hope that each of you will attend the event whenever you can. We invite you to the Board of Directors barbecue on July 4th. Great food, great place to watch the fireworks. We hope that you'll consider, like Commissioner Fritz does, volunteering both at the event and at Oregon Food Bank. And thank you very much for your time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Can you switch back to the picture of you? Thank you, Carla. What are the dates for the festival this year, and are you ready to announce the headliner?
Yes. The dates are July 3rd through 6th. It's Thursday through Sunday, so fireworks fall on Friday this year, which is always nice. People can stay up late and stay for the fireworks. Our headliner this year is Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers. We will once again be doing a pass required entry on Sunday, as we did last year when Robert Plant was here. It both helps us guarantee entry for people who want to attend, and it helps us address crowd control and public safety. We also have, though, lots of other great people, Boz Skaggs, Los Lobos, Los Lonely Boys, great lineup of Zydeco music, which is the best lineup of Zydeco music west of the Mississippi, or maybe outside Louisiana, and lots of local entertainers as well, local musicians.
You mentioned $1.13 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's the money, that's the net money?
That's the net. So we netted last year $1.13 million, and in large part it was because of our work with you to allow us to have Sunday as a pass-only day, the day that Robert Plant, Mavis Staples, Taj Mahal were at the event, and being able to have one day where we charge for the event made a significant difference in the net revenue. Every other day was, as it's been for the 26 years, a suggested donation of $10 and two cans of food. That will be the case this year for the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, but on Sunday the 6th, we will have pass only.
I'm curious, you mentioned you're the second largest blues festival. Who is the first?
I believe it's the one in New Orleans that's the biggest. Yeah, yeah.
And just so you know, last year Parks waived the extra fee for the pay-only day to see how that would go. It's gone so well that this year the Oregon Food Bank is paying all of the required permits. So I really appreciate your partnership with us.
Commissioner Fritz, I got an email this morning from someone who's been tracking the markup of the agriculture bill in the House. This would be the Republican bill. And there's a program that's funded every year with $85 million, which provides summer lunch programs for hungry kids in conjunction with the schools that Parks participates in. The Obama administration proposed an extra $30 million to expand its scope. Republicans in the markup have deleted the reference to urban schools, so under their bill, it would no longer be available to kids in urban settings. It would only be available to kids in rural settings. So they are threatening to defund the entire federal entitlement program for summer lunch programs.
That is very disheartening. And what? We can help provide statistics about child hunger in urban areas in Oregon, if that's of any help.
Yeah, I was going to get your thoughts about and maybe you've just partially explained that there's erosion elsewhere, but, you know, we have an improving economy. You're doing a great job. We have an amazing coalition of nonprofits and public agencies working together on all these efforts, and yet you're only seeing a flattening of hunger in the mm-hmm. city. What other trends and issues are you seeing in that statistical, unfortunate statistical reality that I guess a lot of people would hope would start to moderate as unemployment falls and as the economy generally improves? Obviously, a lot of people are being left behind. What are you seeing?
Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing, that people are being left behind both in still being unable to find employment, but also people who are underemployed relative to where they were in 2007 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
So people, we still are seeing a lot of people who hadn't gone to a food pantry or a soup kitchen or hadn't needed emergency food assistance back in 2008 or 9, who are seeking it now because the job they have now pays less than half of what they made, or they don't have benefits, or the transportation costs that they have are higher. What we've seen as a trend is that typically food is the last thing that people will spend their disposable income on. Because the threat of not paying rent and being homeless is very big, they have to have transportation to get to their job. They need to pay utility bills. There are costs for supporting their children and other household costs. So they wait and they put food on as the last item on their list.
Mm.
And that's, you know, there's medical and health insurance also. We do think that the Affordable Care Act will have an impact on some people in being able to provide health insurance at an affordable cost to them. But we still think that people are going to struggle for another couple of years until the economy improves enough in the type of jobs that they can get. And we still want to be there to make sure that there is access to emergency food, especially for children.
Couple of things. One, I really appreciate that the food bank keeps track of how many attendees are from outside of Portland, because in terms of economic impact, that's really significant, because people in Portland might have been sort of spending their money at some other event in the city, but mm-hmm. people are coming here from outside. That's mm-hmm. Money injected into the bloodstream of our economy.
Absolutely.
I also really am very excited that you've got Greg Allman and a whole bunch of Zydeco bands coming. That's great. I do hope that you don't invite Taj Mahal back again, because my mother once waited on Taj Mahal at the Village Green Resort Motor Hotel and Restaurant, and he was a really bad tipper and kind of rude, so I don't think we need that element in our town. And finally, I hope that next year you will have some statistics on fun measurement, because as you know, the national standard for entertainment events is we try to reach 2.25 fun points per attendee at an entertainment event, so we'd like to know if we're meeting that goal.
Fun points, yes.
Fun points, yes.
2.25, you say.
That's a new indicator.
Yeah. I think we'll be able to exceed that one for sure. Can't make any promises about Taj Mahal or any other artists that may have rubbed people the wrong way, either at the event or prior or later. We do, I think, with musicians, what we try to do is not only get the best blues musicians at the event that we can, but the Zydeco has become an attendee favorite. We've got the huge dance floor, so I expect to see you out there this year.
You will.
Yeah, good. And we also want to make sure that we've got music that would appeal to anyone. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Laura Galino Di Lovato, for your wonderful presentation and for all the work that the food bank does.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for inviting us, and thank you, Commissioners Mayor Hales.
Great festival. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah, hope to see you there.
Amanda, thanks for bringing this forward.
Thanks, Amanda. Enjoy. Yes, you're here. Let's hear it for the Blues Festival. All right.